Check. Yes, good morning to each and every one of you. It's good to be back and see a lot of the familiar faces, the smiles, the people we're surrounded with in church and family. And for those of you who don't know, we called this church home for almost 10 years that we were here, and we were part of the church. I think New Year's of 2016, something around that time, we started attending. And then last year in June, like Joe said, we moved to Pennsylvania. And I'll briefly share about some of that. To what Joe was saying, I just think it's incredible the songs that were picked. I'll gladly wear your name because he first wore our sin. And that's exactly what I want to preach on, the gospel. What is that? But before I go into that, I'll just briefly share about our transition. I don't want to spend a lot of time for the sake of time, but I just want to take time and thank you guys for the prayers and the support that you have showed us over the last 8 to 10 months in our life, financial support. We really appreciate it. And I want to bless the leadership team here, the small group leaders that we've been able to sit under and to learn, Steve, the things that you guys have first poured into our life as a family, in my life as a dad, as a leader. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wouldn't be what you guys first poured into our life. And so we appreciate that, and we thank you all so much for everything that you have poured into our life. Just in brief here, sharing a little bit about our transition. We live about 4 minutes from Sight and Sound. So that's, I guess that varies on who's driving. So I'll leave it at that. If any of you have plans to come over there or are visiting the area there, please, please feel free to stop in and visit us. We would love to see you guys. We moved over there and we hardly knew anyone. And so our lifestyle drastically changed. We went from being busy, busy, busy to going to church on Sunday, and the next plans we have is to go to church on the following Sunday. And so it's like, during the week, it's like, man, what are we going to do? The to-do list is sometimes at the end, and it's like, what are we going to do because we don't know anyone? But it's given us a tremendous opportunity to spend time with family. And the blessing that it has been. It's not always been easy, telling the family goodbye, and they're leaving, and we're there. It's like, okay, God, here we are, me and you, what do you want? And especially as a parent, to see your children cry for family back home is not easy. But it also presented us with a wonderful opportunity to teach the boys what God says is the most important thing. What God says, I know it didn't take the pain away. It still hurts in our heart. We miss the people, but what God says, that's the most important thing in our life. When we stand face to face on Judgment Day with God, what's going to matter? The only thing that's going to matter is the things that are done for Him. And the only thing that's going to matter is His opinion. My opinion of your life, my opinion of your marriage, my opinion of the way you do life, my opinion of your Christian walk, that won't matter. But what's God's opinion? And it gave me a new realization of just seeing the importance of basing my life off of that. What's God's opinion? That's the thing that matters. Not my opinion. I think we as humans tend to hold our opinion way too high sometimes. We all have the same spirit within us, Ephesians 6. What's His opinion? That's what matters. And that, I really, during that time, it really opened my eyes to some of that stuff. We plugged into a new church over there. It's feeling more and more like home. You kind of, go to church and you don't know anyone, but it's starting to feel more and more like home. And we got to be really good friends with our next door neighbors. I'd consider them a really young couple. They're our age. they've been a tremendous blessing in our life. They have two little boys our age, and they can run back and forth and play. They don't take the place of family, but it's just been a tremendous blessing to have a relationship like that in our life that we can, just on a day-to-day basis, be back and forth with them. And And yeah, just they don't take the place of family, but it feels good to have a relationship like that in our life. So I want to get into the message here. And the title to my message is The Gospel. And before I go into everything, I want to pray. So God, we come before you this morning recognizing that it's only because of what was done on the cross of Jesus, that it's only because of what Jesus did on the cross that we can live in freedom. And that we can walk, God, in your calling and the plans that you have for us. So we thank you and we honor you for what you first did in our life, long before we were ever capable, you died for us. And so we just thank you for everything that you've done for us. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and would minister to each heart that is here. You see all the situations. If there's people that are walking around, if there's people in the room here that are in situations that look hopeless, God, I just pray that you would speak hope into that. Because you're a God of hope. And you have come so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And so that's my prayer this morning, that you would speak to the people's hearts and that they could see you and see how much you care about them. So thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you are doing. And we just invite your presence to come and to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the title to my message is The Gospel. And I don't necessarily have a text that I'm going to be turning to. I have slides and a bunch of verses that I want to go through. What I want to do is I want to start in heaven, right? That realm's perfect. There's no tears, and we'll look at verses on that. Then I want to look at us. We as humans, we're walking on this earth, and we have our own set of imperfections, right? Addictions, whatever it may be, we're human. So there's a separation there, perfect, imperfect. And we'll look at some verses. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then I want to look at the story of Jesus. And then I want to look at the cross and the new birth. There's young folks that have started instruction class. They're making the decision to surrender their life to him. And I bless each and every one of you that, I don't know how many of them that are here or how many of them that there is, but I just bless you guys. And then I want to look at the new birth, because ultimately I said we were separated, right? Perfect and imperfect. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, there's a connection back to the Father. And then I want to end with being seated with him in heavenly places. What does that look like? Is that for future? Is that for now? So, the gospel, what is that? If someone were to, you're walking down the street, somebody stops, gets out of their car, and asks you the question, what is the gospel? What would you tell them? What does the gospel mean to you? What is it? I'm asking the question because I want you to start thinking about some of this stuff. What is the gospel? What really is it? And I hope to unpack a lot of that stuff, unpack what the gospel actually is. So let's start by just looking at this. This realm here is, we'll call heaven, okay? This realm's perfect, right? There's no pain. There's no sickness. There's no disease. This realm's perfect. We all long to be at this place someday. Did you know, and I want you to think about this, the only thing in this realm here that is made of man is the nail marks in Jesus' hands and feet of my sin and your sin. That's the only thing in this realm that is made of man. The nail marks of our sin. Like I said, this realm's perfect. This is where God the Father is, Jesus Christ. Now let's look at some verses. Revelation 21:4. Sorry, I feel like I have my back turned on you guys. And God shall wipe away their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Perfection. And just another verse talking about that. Matthew 6:19-20. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth, where moth rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. There, he's saying, that place, There's neither going to be moth nor rust nor corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. This realm here, it says there won't be stealing. This is going to be perfection, right? So that's perfect, and we know we're imperfect. So let's look at some verses on that. Sorry, I feel like I have to rush through this stuff to get, to cover everything I want to cover. Romans 3:23, we probably have all heard the verse. For all have sinned, not just me, not just you, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We first need to see our imperfections before we can see our need for Him. If we don't see our need, if we don't see our imperfections, our failures, we don't see our need for Him. All, He's saying all, not just me, not just you. I'm not here to accuse anyone. I'm not here to condemn anyone. This is reality. All have sinned and fall short. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's people that are walking around on the earth and they don't see their need for a Savior. There's nothing wrong with them. They're deceiving themselves and the truth is not in them. Isaiah 53:6, all is in parentheses. All, I put that in parentheses, that wasn't, all these verses are out of King James Version then. All, we like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to their own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. James 3:2, indeed we all make many. There's that all again, it just comes over and over. We make all make many mistakes. If we could control our tongues, and I'm going to stop there a little bit. He's emphasizing the importance of our tongue. We can use our tongue to either speak blessing or curses. The choice is ours. And then it says, out of the heart the man speaks. So what's going on in your heart will come out of your mouth. And he's emphasizing the importance of that. We would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. That brings the question, well, why do we struggle then? Why do we struggle? Why are we addicted to things? Why do we struggle? Reality is we're born in a broken world. We're born with a sin nature, right? It says that Satan is the ruler of the earth. Now let me talk on that a little bit. Satan has no power over us until we first give it to him. And it's the decisions that we make. Decisions that we make and decisions that generations before us have made. And I wanna talk on that a little bit. I'm not here to condemn the generations before us. That's not what I'm here to say. In fact, God never created a bad person. It says we're created in His image. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we're created in His image, we're not created bad people. When I say we're affected by generations' decisions that generations before us have made, I don't mean that they were bad people. But when you make an agreement with Satan, you're making the door open for something to have a legal right into your life, okay? And that will affect your children until it is dealt with properly. Decisions that I make have the opportunity to bless my children or to be a curse for them or hinder them, right? That's what I'm talking about when I say the decisions that either we make, we can make a decision to make an agreement with God, or we can make a decision to make an agreement with Satan. And it will affect our life, and it will affect our children. Okay? And I could spend a lot of time on that, but I won't. Just to go into the whole generational iniquity thing, and I see this over and over. I didn't share this, but what I do over there, I sit down with people and just digest what has gone on in their life, sit down and pray with them, because ultimately I won't buy the freedom. I won't be able to set a person free, but it's the cross of Jesus Christ. And I see this over and over in the office where people come in and they say, man, my dad was struggling with immorality. Man, my uncles were porn addicts. Man, my grandpa struggled with the same thing, and now I'm in the same thing. It's a generational thing that is going through the family tree, and until it is dealt with properly, it will continue to go down through them. That's what I'm saying when I say the generational decisions that generations before you have made. We often hear the term, like father, like son. That guy's dad was just like that, and he's the same way. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The decisions that generations before us have made have a tremendous, they can leave a tremendous effect on our life. I'm not here to condemn them, but I'm just, that's the question, why do we struggle? What do I struggle with is very likely the things that my dad struggled with. Think about it. Look at family trees. And I could go, yeah, I won't for the sake of time, but, and then that, like I said, we're not created bad people. No, God never created the bad person. We don't fight against the flesh and blood. We have to stop looking through the humanity. We see each other humanly, right? Humanity. But that's not the problem. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting against, it says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, against authorities of the unseen realm, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. It's not a flesh and blood battle. There are spiritual things that are going on that are controlling us and are pushing us around to get us to do what they want us to do. Because here's the thing, and there's a verse that'll come up on stronghold. It'll talk on a stronghold. What a stronghold is, if a person goes out, let's say he struggles with immorality. Okay, this is just an example. And he dabbles with it once. And then he dabbles with it again and again. And all of a sudden, there is a supernatural stronghold that is happening. And the more that he's dabbling in that sin, the bigger that stronghold is getting in his life. And all of a sudden, this stronghold is bigger than he is. Well, guess what? This thing is supernatural. And if this thing is supernatural and I'm natural, who's going to win? I will always fall to that thing because it has the power to push me around to do whatever it wants it to do because I opened the door to it. We're not fighting against the flesh and blood, but against the spiritual rulers, authorities of the unseen realm. And right here's the verse. I love this verse talking about that stronghold. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The flesh is not the problem. People do what people do because of what they feel. They're feeling things that are going on within them, and that's why they do what they do. And this is in parentheses. This is the way the Bible had this in parentheses. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember I had talked about that stronghold, that supernatural being bigger than you and controlling you, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, now we looked at heaven, that realm's perfect, right? We looked at our lives. There's a lot of imperfections going on, right? We're human. We all have things in our life that are out of alignment with Him. I mean, that's reality. That's a fact. And I'd love to dive into the whole thing of body, soul, and spirit, but I won't. I simply won't have time to go into some of that stuff. Story of Jesus. What did Jesus do? What was the reason for Him to come, right? So there's a disconnect. Where we're going at in the story is, heaven is perfect, we're imperfect, there's a disconnect. What did Jesus come to do? And it says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And there's so much in these verses, but for the sake of time, I'll just keep going. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Remember I said we first need to see our imperfections before we see our need for the Savior. He came to save not those who were right, those who were lost. John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might through him, went too fast, might be saved. 1 John 4, 9 and 10, and this is the story of Jesus. This is what Jesus came to do. And this was made manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his propitiation for our sins. Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth, I love this verse, God commendeth his love toward us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God commendeth his love towards you? God loves each and every one of us the same, right? But why then do some people walk in more of his love than other people and experience more of his love than other people? What is going on within you that is getting you to feel like God doesn't love you? It's a lie. He says he commendeth his love toward us. Do you believe it? In that while, and then going on here, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's incredible. Nothing that I did, nothing that you did. No, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nothing in and of ourselves. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. What within you has Satan tried to steal from you? What did he try to kill? And when I say that, I'm thinking about spiritual abortion. What has Satan tried to spiritually abort within you? Giftings? Calling? What has Satan tried to spiritually abort within you so that you cannot successfully walk in the calling that God has for you? What has he tried to steal? What has he tried to kill in you and then ultimately destroy you with it? Then God says, no, I've come that they might have life, and not just life, but have it more abundantly. That's the reason. And this, what I'm unpacking, this is the gospel. Like, this is what he did for us. First, we need to see our imperfections. Now we're looking at what he did for us. New birth. There's another one. What does it mean to be born again? If somebody asks you, what is new birth? Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Jesus, what is this? What is the new birth? What does it mean to you? Let's look at some verses on what the Bible says. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, there's that believe thing. Do you believe that he commendeth his love? Believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. New birth. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not works. And I'm going to stop there. I wonder sometimes how much of our life is spent around works-based mentalities. See, our culture teaches us, and I shouldn't say culture, but the world teaches us that we do things to earn. Think about it. We go to work to earn money. We do something to earn respect. We do something to earn something from another person. That's what we're taught. That's what's ingrained in us. And when we do that, when we're walking around with that works-based mentality, we're literally saying, you know what, Jesus, what you did on the cross, that wasn't quite enough. I need to do this other good work so that I can get into heaven. You will never be able to do enough good works to be saved. I think that we subconsciously do a lot of things out of a works-based mentality and we don't realize it. Works should follow the faith. I'm not saying works aren't good, but that's not the driving factor. It says it's a gift you have to receive. Lest any man should boast. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. For God commendeth, there's that verse again, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. And here's the key. I left this last for a reason. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. There's a surrender thing that has to go with this. How much am I willing to die to myself? How much am I willing to surrender my agenda? How much am I willing to surrender my opinion? Dying, deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Surrender. Romans 6:3, know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. What if we would pray and say, you know what, God, I come to the foot of the cross and I wrap my arms around the cross. This is where Jesus died and this is where I completely surrender and die to myself. Every agenda, every evil motive, everything that does not align with you, we leave at that cross. Surrender. As many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. The amount that you're willing to be buried and surrender is the amount that you'll walk into the newness of life. Are you willing to go all in? It's painful. It's not always easy. But are you willing to step out of the boat and go all in with Jesus? There's a death. There's a dying process that has to go on with our physical, our humanity. Okay, now I want to, the last thing that I want to look at here is being seated with him in heavenly places. Okay, we looked at heaven is perfect. We looked at our imperfections. And then we looked at the story of Jesus and what is the new birth, right? The surrender, the dying process, dying to ourselves, dying to our agenda, dying to my ways, right? Surrendering to him, being all in. Here I am, send me. Now, I believe, and we'll look at some verses, I believe when we're born again, there is an aspect of us, our spirit, that is seated with him in heavenly places. And we'll look at some verses talking about that. It says in John 14, 19 and 20, he says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, before long, the world will not see me anymore. He says, the world's not going to see me anymore, right? They're going to crucify him. They're going to put him in the grave. And he says, the world won't see me anymore. But you are going to see me because I live and you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father. Okay, so we can get that, right? Jesus ascended to God the Father, and we can kind of get that. Jesus says, I'm going to be in my Father, right? After this has taken place, after I have died, and after that process has taken place, I'm going to be in my Father. But then he says, and you are going to be inside me. What does that look like? He says, you are going to be in me. And now the last phrase there, he says, and I'm going to be in you. So we can kind of, our humanity can kind of, we can kind of wrap around our minds around that, him within us by the Holy Spirit, right? And we can kind of wrap our mind around him being in the Father. But he's saying that we are going to be in him. What does that mean? Does that mean we're seated in heavenly places now, in the future? I believe it's now. Our body is seated in Beach City in church, right? But there's an aspect of our spirit that is seated with him in heavenly places. And let's look at some more verses. Since, this is past tense. Since, I put that in parentheses, that's not the way it was. Since, it's happened. Since, you have been raised with Christ. Since we've been raised with Christ. Remember, we talked about being dead in baptism. Since we have been raised, then set your hearts on the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not the things of the earth. Set your minds on the realities of heaven. Set your minds on and your values on the things that God values. Do I value things the way that God values it? Am I seeing through his eyes? He says, set your mind on that reality, not the things of the earth. Those stuff is all material. That will all be wiped away someday. He says, for you have died, and your life, he says, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Paul's writing this. This is past tense. He says, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That aspect of our spirit is seated with him. Then he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Ephesians 2, 4 and 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. This is, again, he's writing this, okay? So this, in the natural, he's writing this. And he's saying, wait a minute, guys. He's saying, God raised us up with Christ and has seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Not then, not someday. He's saying, it's happened. Raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places. So, if we are seated with him in heavenly places, and let me back up a little bit. The new birth experience, right? When we get born again, Christ God reaches inside of himself and he deposits life within us. His life, that spirit, that's what I'm talking about. And I'd love to go more into depth in that, but simply for the sake of time, I won't. Do we understand our position in Christ? If we are seated with him in heavenly places, we should start seeing situations the way that he sees it. We should start seeing other people the way that he sees them. And I'll explain it this way. Does an airplane pilot think the same way that the guy in the control tower does? No. I hope not. Does the control tower guy think the same way that the semi-driver does? No. The semi-driver doesn't think the same way that a school bus driver does. They all think in accordance to where they're seated. Do we understand our position in Christ? Because if we don't, it will be very hard, and we will not walk successfully into the calling that He has for us. Do we understand our identity and where we're seated? First, it's all because of what Jesus did. Nothing, not because of works, no. It's that connection that Jesus brought because of the cross, right? And I'll use this illustration yet in kind of closing. Peter, Jesus is telling the disciples, look guys, you know, in a couple days they're going to crucify me and they're going to kill me. I'm going to die, they're going to put me in the tomb. And Peter starts rebuking him. This, I think it's in Mark. Peter starts rebuking him, and then Jesus takes him to the side and says, Peter, get behind, he doesn't use Peter there, but he says, get behind me, Satan. And then he tells Peter, you need to stop looking through the eyes of humanity, and you need to start looking through the eyes of God. How much of our situation that looks so hopeless would change if we would start looking through the eyes of God, and we would start seeing where we're seated? Do we understand our position in Christ? And it's only because of what He first did for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you go to the last slide, and then I'll, in closing here. It's only because of this. And I feel like there's people here today that are in situations that look completely hopeless. You don't even know how to take another step forward. If your marriage is in a situation where you don't even know how to move forward, you have no idea. I want to pray for you. Christ died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He died so that there is hope. I'm not saying it's not hard. There's been a lot of people losing loved ones the last couple weeks. A guy that went to church here, but there's hope because of what He did on the cross. If you're going through a time where you don't even know how to move forward, you have no idea what even tomorrow, the next hour looks like because your situation looks hopeless, I want to pray for you, because there is hope. Christ came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And I'd encourage you, if you're struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with things that are going on in your life and you feel like you cannot get out of it, there are spiritual strongholds that are tying you down and are holding you bondage until they are dealt with properly. And it's not any person, nobody can cut you free from these things. It's only because of this. You have to go to this place and repent. It's nothing in and of ourselves. This is the gospel. This is how much He paid so that we could have freedom. What are we doing with the greatest gift the world has ever seen? Are we wasting it? What are we doing with it? This is the gospel. This is how much He cares for us. So let me pray for you, oh God. Thank you for sending your only Son. God, the very people that you created crucified your own Son. And I can't even fathom to think about what you went through when you see the people that you created crucify your own Son. Yet in that moment, you're caring more about having a relationship with us than your own Son. And we just thank you. God, I feel like there's people in here that don't know even how to take another step forward. Their situation looks so hopeless. And God, I just pray that you would speak into every situation and every trial that is going on, that you would speak to every heart. God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. God, is there something that you want to tell that person? Is there something that you want to say to that situation? Is there something that you want to tell to the people that are grieving a loss of a loved one? God, you know us intimately. You know everything that's going on better than we know ourselves. And so I just ask that you would speak to us. And not just now, but in the hours, days to come, that you would speak to those situations. And you have come so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And I just speak life over every situation that looks like it's dying and looks like there's no way out. I speak life over that situation. And I pray just for your anointing upon the people and upon the people's hearts the rest of this afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for what you first did for us. It's because of you and what you first did for us that we could have life. God, I pray that you would show the people anything in their life that is out of alignment with you so that we can, that it can be repented of and brought into alignment with you. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you, just put someone in their life so that they can talk to. Thank you for what you're doing in everyone's life, and I pray that you would continue the work that you have started. God, you're a good Father, and we honor you, and we thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Joe? Get my stuff here.